Okay, today's daf is Shavuos daf Yud Dalet. We left off in daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We are holding pretty far up, about 10 lines before the lines get wide, on daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. So says Gemara, Man Tana Lahadutan Rabbanan. Who's the author of the following brisa that we have? We're going to connect this to what we were learning yesterday. We'll chazer that over in a second. First, let's see the brisa. So we're going to quote a lengthy brisa over here. Who's the author of the following brisa? Vishachat Asi'ir Achatas Asher La'am. That Pasuk says that he shechts the Seer Chatas, the Seer Pnimi, Asher La'am, the Pasuk says. She'en O'Kanim Mischapren Bo, that the Kohanim do not get a Kapara through that. Ubamem Mischapren, what do in fact the Kohanim get their Kapara through if it's not from the Seer Pnimi? Beparo Shel Aaron, the Kohanim are not going to get their Kapara from the Seer Pnimi, they're going to get their Kapara from the Paro Shel Aaron, from the special part that the Kohen Gadol brings. Yochlo Yischapru Beparo Shel Aaron, Shari Kvar Nemar Asher Lo. One might have thought that they shouldn't even get a Kapara from the Paro Shel Aaron, because the Pasuk says Asher Lo, that it's his. It doesn't say anything about other Kohanim. It implies that it should only be for him. Me'ata Einlen Kapara. So I would say, well, therefore that leaves the other Kohanim out in the cold, because they can't get a Kapara through the Seer Pnimi that all of Klal Yisrael gets a Kapara from. They can't get a Kapara from the Paro Shel Aaron that the Kohen Gadol gets a Kapara from. So I would think that they don't get any Kapara. Keshuhu Omer Yechaper Ala Kohanim Matzinulen Kapara. But the Pasuk says Yechaper Ala Kohanim, that the Kohanim do get a Kapara. So there must be a kapara somewhere. So where does their kapara come from? By mehein mischaprin, mutav shiyischapru beparu shalaron sharihutur mechalo etzel beso. Well, we're going to say it's better to assume that their kapara comes from the paru shalaron rather than from the seir hapnimi, because we already find by the Paro Shel Aaron that even though it says Asher Lo, the reason we wanted to assume the Kohanim were not included was because the Pasuk said Asher Lo, it should be only for him. We already find that we broke that rule, that Asher Lo does not only include him, it already includes other people. It includes Beso as well. So since Asher Lo includes Beso as well, so we could assume that Beso is expanded to all of his brothers, the Kohanim, his entire family of Kohanim, the entire Kuhuna. But by the Seir Nasa B'Fnim, we don't find any such exceptions to the rule. Pasuk implies that it's only for the non-Kohanim. It's only for the non-Kohanim. We don't find any such exception to the rule. Vim nafshach lomar, and if you want to think that that's not true, right? Rashi says vim nafshach lomar lahakshos klum al midrash zeh. You have some sort of kasha on this drasha. Ulkamei mifarish ma yesh lahakshos. The Gemara is later going to explain when we start explaining the brisa what in the world your kasha could be on this drasha. But if you don't like this drasha for whatever reason, I'll give you another drasha. Hareyu omer. The pasuk says, meaning, and we're going to see from here that the paro shel Aaron serves as kapara not only for the Kohen Gadol but for all of the Kohanim. Pasuk says, "Beis Aaron Baruch Hashem, Beis Halevi Baruch Hashem, Yirei Hashem Baruch Hashem." If you look at Rashi, Arayu Omer Al Karcha Mikra Melamedcha Shemischaprim Beparo Shel Aaron. You see from the pasuk that they do get kapara from the paro shel Aaron. Shemar Beis Aaron Baruch Hashem Hari Kol Kohanim Kriyin Beiso. Beis Aaron includes the entire all the Kohanim. So Harehim Bechlal Uvad Beiso, that therefore when it says that it's going to be for him Uvad Beiso, Beiso must be in its most expanded version. That Beiso means all of the Kohanim. So it must be the most the most broad way to understand the word Beiso. So that is the brisa. That's the whole brisa that we're going to quote. Now we're going to start to analyze. So Mantana. Who is the author of this brisa? Meaning, this brisa assumed that they don't have a kapara through the seir hapnimi, that the kohanim would only get a kapara through the paro shel Aaron, and if not for the kapara through the paro shel Aaron, the brisa said, otherwise they wouldn't have a kapara at all. So who's the one that holds that kohanim are not included in the kapara that the rest of Klal Yisrael gets? Mantano, who's the author of the brisa? Omer Rabbi Yirmiyah, Delok Rabbi Yehuda. Well, one thing we know for sure, it can't be like Rabbi Yehuda, it's got to be like Rabbi Shimon, right? That, the Rabbi Yehuda, Ha'amar Kohanim, Yesh Len Kapara B'Seir Mishalech, because after all, Rabbi Yehuda is the one that holds that Kohanim do get a Kapara with the Seir Mishalech, so we know for sure it's Delok Rabbi Yehuda. If you look at Rashi, Delok Rabbi Yehuda, Delok Rabbi Shimon, Damar Kol Kapara Rosein, Bepar Tuluyos, Di Rabbi Yehuda, Inami Lo Mechapri Bepar, Isluka paramias pesir mishalech b'sharaveros. Meaning Rabbi Yehuda would say, don't tell me the Kohanim don't get any kapara. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Kohanim are included in the sir mishalech. So the Bryson never would have said that the Kohanim don't get any kapara. At least b'sharaveros, and nantumas mikdash kutash of issues, Kohanim would be included in the kapara that all the rest of Klal Yisrael is included in, on all the other averos, on the chamuros and kalos and zdonos and shkagos, and all the other things that are included in the sir mishalech. So it can't be Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi, again, because the Gemara says if it were Rabbi Yehuda, they'd be including the Seir Mishalech. So, money, who might the author of the Brisa be? So, Rav Amar Rabbi Shimon, Rav says, okay, so it's got to be Rabbi Shimon. Damar Kohanim in them kapar, the Seir Mishalech, who holds that Kohanim do not get a kapar with the Seir Mishalech. And that's why the Brisa assumed that if they're not going to be included in the Parash of Aaron, they're not going to be included in any sort of kapara. Abai Amar Afilutem Rabbi Yehuda, Abai says, no, we could even make it go like Rabbi Yehuda. Hachi Kamar, Me'at in them kapara betumas mikdash ukdashav. So you just have to add in a few words. The Brisa never meant to suggest that if they are not included in the Parash of Aaron, that the other Kohanim don't get any kapara. It only wanted to say that if they're not included in the Parash of Aaron, that they're not going to have kapara for Tumas Mikdash or Kedashav. Of course, they'll have kapara for the Kalos and Chamuros, Asay Los, Asay Zdonos, Shkagos, all the things that we learned, the Seir Mishtaleach, is Mechaper for. That's Mechaper for the Kohanim also. That the Brisa wasn't even addressing. It was only talking about the kapara for Tumas Mikdash Kedashav. So that's what the Brisa meant to say. Me'at ein lam kapara b'tumas mikdash kedashav. Kishu omer yichaper al kohanim, matzinu sheyesh lam kapara b'shar averos. So when it says yichaper al kohanim, you see that they have kapara for shar averos. Oh, kemod matzinu sheyesh lam kapara b'shar averos. And then the Brisa wants to say, just like we find that the other kohanim get kapara for shar averos, so must be that if they're going to get kapara for shar averos, that they should be eligible to get kapara for tumas mikdash ukdashav as well. By mehein mischapin, where is their kapara in tumas mikdash ukdashav? With what? Through what do they get kapara tumas mikdash ukdashav? So that's what the Brisa was discussing. Should it come from the seir pnimi or should it come from the parash al aron? Mutav yischapru beparash al aron sharei hutar michlalo etzal beso. Right, and so that's what the Brisa said. Better for it to come from the power of Aaron, from the power of the Kohen Gadol, because already when it says Asher Lo by the power of the Kohen Gadol, we know it doesn't mean it's only for him, because we know it's already including Beso as well. So since it's already including Beso as well, so we can include the rest of the Kohanim as well. But by this year, Anasa Bifrim, we don't have any exceptions to the rule. We know it's for Klal Yisrael. We don't know anything about it being for Kohanim. Mela, it's only for Klal Yisrael, and it's not for the Kohanim. But that's how the Brisa could even be going like Rabbi Yehuda. So bottom line, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Kohanim get kapara in two ways. Just like Klal Yisrael gets kapara in two ways. Let's break it down this way. There are three groups of people. There's Klal Yisrael, there's the rest of Klal Yisrael, there's Kohanim, and there's Kohen Gadol, right? The rest of Klal Yisrael gets the kapara for Shara Veros from Seir Lazazel. They get kapara for Tumas Mikdash Kudashav from the Seir Nasa Bifnin, right? The Kohanim get kapara for Shara Veros according to Rabbi Yehuda also from Seir Lazazel. They get kapara for the Tumas Mikdash Kudashav from where? For Tumas Mikdash Kedashav, they're going to get from the Paro Shel Aaron, from the Paro of the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol himself also, from the Paro Shel Aaron, is where he's going to get his Kapara. Fine, so that's how we understand the Brisa. Now, the term Beso, we're using in a very expanded way over here. We're saying that Beso means all of the Kohanim. So the Rishonim already asked, the Rashba and the Ran are bothered by the usage, by the broad usage of the term Beso. Right, The Rashba and the Ran asked that it says Beferish Beso that by the Kohen Gadol and Parshas Kabanos of Yom HaKippurim is Legabe Ishto, that she gets a Kapara along with him, with his Kabanos. So now all of a sudden we're going to say Beso doesn't only mean we have throughout all the Shas, Beso Zu Ishto. No, isn't that what we always mean? That when the Kohen goes in Yom Kippur, the beginning of Masechus Yuma, we say that he has to achieve a Kapara, Badovad Beso, that it has to mean Beso Zu Ishto, and that's why the Mishnah at the beginning of Masechus Yuma says that if he doesn't have if his wife dies, that's why we prepare a backup wife for him, because he needs to have a wife at the moment that he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's critical that he have a wife, because Beso Zu Ishto. Well, now we're saying Beso means everybody else. Well, since when does Basil mean more than just Ishtal? So my Chavrusa pointed out to me on Friday that there's a Meshechachma in Achremos, a beautiful Meshechachma, where he says on the Pasuk of the Kohen Gadol going V'chiper Bado Vad Beso, Meshechachma says Beso Mikri Gambanav. That the term beso doesn't always mean only ishto. Sometimes beso also means banav. It also means someone's children are included in beso. How do I know that? Because the Gemara in Kiddushin Chav Beis Amnal tells us that when an Eved Ivri is staying on and they're piercing the ear of the Eved Ivri, so the Gemara says Mlamechim ein l'rabo isha ubanim. That since he uses the term beso in regards to the master, that if the master doesn't have a wife and children, so the Eved can't be nirtza. So what do you see? That the term beso comes to include not only a wife, but children as well. So you see Chazal already expanded the term beso beyond just a wife. So why is it that on Yom Kippur, beso only means ishto, in terms of what we prepare for him in advance, and he's able to achieve kapara even if he doesn't have children? So says the Meshech Chachma, unbelievable. Do you know why that is? He says, because the Torah's drachah hadarchei noam. The Torah's ways are sweet and pleasant, and the Torah can't demand the impossible. So if he has children, and Rachman al-Utslan, what if those children die in Yom Kippur? What's he supposed to do then? There's no backup children. You can't have backup children. You can have a backup wife. You can't have backup children. So since there's no system to cover him for that eventuality, drachah hadarchei noam. So that's the Torah would never demand such a thing, and that's mochiach that the explanation of the word beso in the context of the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur, v'chiper ba'ado v'abeso, must mean only zuishto. But wherever it can be in a more expansive way, and it doesn't break the rules of drachah hadarchei noam, then it will include everybody else. And Rabbi Cooperman over here in the footnotes of the Meshech Chachma, that he added to the Meshech Chachma, points out that you see a powerful idea that drachah hadarchei noam is not just a nice hashkafic idea about that the Torah is nice and the Torah is sweet and the Torah is pleasant. Drachah hadarchei noam is koveya adin d'oraisa. That when it says bad beso, the word beso can mean several things. Drachah hadarchei noam determines that in this context it must only mean ishto. An unbelievable koach to drachah hadarchei noam. You have this elsewhere. The Gemara Maseches Sukkah darshins. Gemara tries to figure out what the dalad minim are, what the identification of the dalad minim. The Gemara says it can't be anything that when you hold it, it's thorny and that it's going to prick your hands and cause you to bleed, because drachah hadarchei noam, the Torah's ways are pleasant, and it couldn't be that the Torah would demand that you do something so unpleasant. So Shachta pointed out when we were learning Sukkah that drachah hadarchei noam teaches you that if a particular word or a particular idea has two possible explanations, so and you don't know which way to go, drachah hadarchei noam tips the scale and tells you that you go in one way, not the other way. Drachah hadarchei noam does not tell you that if you know what it means, that you can say, but that's not pleasant, that's not sweet, and therefore, in my definition of pleasant and sweet, it doesn't fit, and therefore that halacha can't be true. No, that's not drachah hadarchei noam. Unfortunately, in Judaism, we have certain things that are very difficult to deal with. Aguna problems, you can't say drachah hadarchei noam, it can't be that there's such a thing as naguna. No, there is such a thing. If you understand what the halacha is saying, so then there's nothing to talk about. The Meshech Chachma also has elsewhere that drachah hadarchei noam in a totally different context. Not only to explain the din d'oraisa, not only to rather be koveya what the din d'oraisa is, like you have it over here, but also to give the time of dekra, to give a reason for a din d'oraisa. Meshech Chachma explains, why is it that a woman is not mitzuva v'pruruvu? Why is a woman Pater from Puruvu? Because, says Meshech Chachma, she's mistakenes beleda. It's dangerous for her to give birth. Drachah hadarchei noam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't make it a mitzvah for her to do something that's inherently dangerous for her. So what does he do instead? Instead of making it a mitzvah for her, he creates woman with this inherent desire to be a mother, to want to experience motherhood. So, but it's a mitzvah, it can't be, because it can't be part of the Torah, because the Torah is drachah hadarchei noam. That's Meshech Chachma's chiddush about Puruvu. So you see two ways that he applies drachah hadarchei noam in halacha. One, to be koveya what the din is. The other is to be koveya the time of dekra, to explain rather the time of dekra. Says Mar Vayter, Vim Nafshach Lomar Rei Omer Beis Aharon Baruch Hu Hashem. So he said, and if you don't like that drasha that we just said of how we know that the Kohanim are included in the kapara for Tumas Mikdash Kedasha, of the power of the Kohen Gadol. So then there's another pasuk, Beis Aaron Baruch Hashem, and the Beis Aaron includes everybody, includes all the Kohanim. Mayim Nafshach Lomer, why would we reject the first drasha that we need to come on to a second drasha? V'chi tema Beisoksiv, if you're going to say, well, after all, it says Beiso, and Beiso implies his family, it doesn't imply the rest of the Kohanim, because even if Beiso means Ishto and Banav, but Beiso we don't find anywhere that it refers to all the Kohanim, so Kulan Kriyim Beiso, so that's why we want to emphasize, no, everybody is called Beiso, the Kohen Gadol, everyone is called Beiso, Shnemar, Beis Aaron Baruch Hashem, Yirei Hashem Baruch Hashem. So you see from that pasuk that includes Yirei Hashem includes everyone, that Beiso includes many more people for the Kohen Gadol. You wonder if that's Dafka Din in the Kohen Gadol, or that's a Din in the word Beiso also, that just like Beiso can mean only Ishto, can mean Ishto Ubanav, maybe the word Beiso in general can mean more people as well, or maybe that's Dafka Din in the Kohen Gadol, that by the Kohen Gadol, for him Beiso, since he's in a position of leadership and he's in a position of responsibility for people, for all of Klal Yisrael, so maybe for him Beiso means everybody else as well. But whatever it is, that's what we see from the other, that's why we need a second pasuk. Frek the Gemara, v'hai asher la'am, lahach yuda asa. Does this pasuk of asher la'am come to teach me that the Kohanim do not get kapara through the Seir Hanasa Bifnim, right? That's how we darshan. That was going back to yesterday. That's before we had this Braisa, right? A few lines before that, it says, Asher La'am, that includes, that would teach me that the Seir Hanasa Bifnim is only Mechaper Asher La'am. It's not Mechaper for the Kohanim. So is that really what it's coming to teach me? Hami Baile, the Kamarachman, Amida Amlahave. But don't we already need that pasuk to teach me who pays for the karban, that it has to come from the funds of the am, that it has to come from the funds of the people, and not from the Kohen Gadol's personal funds or from the Kohanim, right? It has to come from the am in general, not from any individual even. So hahu mi v'mei eis adas b'nei Yisrael nafka. No, the idea of who pays for it, that we already get from a different pasuk. From eis adas b'nei Yisrael, that we know that teaches us already who pays for it. So frek the Gemara, v'hai asher lo l'ach yudasa. Does the phrase asher lo come to teach me what we just said that it comes to teach me? Asher lo, where it said, does it really come to teach me that no one else gets kapara besides for him, that it's limited to the Kohen Gadol, that the carbon is asher lo, it's only for him? But don't we already need asher lo to teach me the following braisa? Mishalohu mevi, ve'eno mevi mishal tzibur, that he brings from his own money for the power of the Kohen Gadol, he's got to pay for it, and that's not paid for by the tzibur. So don't we already use asher lo to teach me that? So yachalo yavi mishal tzibur sheino tzibur mischapren bo, aval yavi mishalach v'akonim shalach v'akonim mischapren bo, and I might have thought, yes, he's not going to bring the power of the Kohen Gadol from communal money, because the power of the Kohen Gadol doesn't help the community. It's for his own kapara. It's not for their kapara. So why should they pay for it? It's not fair to them, right? But I would think that the other Kohanim should help pay for it, because after all, they also get a kapara through the power of the Kohen Gadol. Talmud Lomar, that's why the pasuk says, Asher lo. That's why we have a second Asher lo. Yachalo yavi v'im hevi kosher. Now, I might think that he's not supposed to bring from the communal funds, but if he does bring from the communal funds, it's going to be kosher. Talmud Lomar, shuv Asher lo. Hakosav shina lov la'akev. That's why it says it again, to tell you that, no, this din, that it has to be brought from his own money, is a din li'ikuva. And that's what the third Asher lo. So basically, what's the Gemara telling us? It says Asher lo three times. Number one, to teach me, me'ikra din, it's best that if he uses his own money, not the money of the rest of Klal Yisrael, is not getting kapara. Second Asher lo, me'ikra din, it's best that it's from his own money, not from the money of other Kohanim, even though they are getting kapara through his power. Third time it says Asher lo, to tell me that this is a din li'ikuva, that you need to use his money. Frek Tosos, how do we know that the three Asher Lo's should go in that order? Maybe it should go like as follows, says Tosos. Im Tomar, Vinuki Asher Lo Tinyana. Tinyana always means the second one, right? Like in Tshuva Svarim, you have the Nodibidu Kama, Nodibidu Tinyana. You have Tinyana, let the second Asher Lo La'akiv Mishal Tzibur. Why don't you say the first Asher Lo tells you that it shouldn't come from communal funds? The power of the Kohen Gadol shouldn't come from communal funds. The second Asher Lo, Shina Lo V'Kasav La'akiv.
tells you that that din that we just taught you is a din liikuv, and if he brings it from communal funds, the whole thing is possible. And then shlishi the mitzvah mishalov v'lo mishal kohanim. And then the third hashalosh should tell you that mikra din, it's a mitzvah you should bring from his own and not from shal kohanim. Why do we automatically jump on the second one to a new din before we've already established the first din as a din liikuva? Right, so says Tosos, Yeshlomer Desparu Hu Lemidrash Meikar Lemitzvah Kodem Dinidrosh LaAkev. He says it's Mistaver that first we're going to be Doresh a mitzvah, just the idea in general, before as many ideas, as many halachos as we can in general, before we're going to darshan anything as an ikuv. V'chein Mukh Perakamad Dizvachim B'chamaduchti. Meaning he's telling us, Tosos is telling us, this is part of the way the Midrash HaTorah and Drash HaBen works. This is the methodology of how the Torah teaches us halacha. That even though we have this concept of shina lavakas of la'akev, it's an important Tosos in that it's telling us a klal in all of Shas. Even though we have a concept of shina lavakas of la'akev, shina lavakas of la'akev is only used when we've exhausted all possible further dinim to derive. If you've exhausted all possible further dinim to derive, and then you're still left with an extra pasuk, that's when we say shina lavakas of la'akev. Otherwise, we're still going to look for new dinim to derive from any extra psukim that we might have. That's the Chiddush of Tosos. So anyway, bottom line is, we're stuck with the kash over here. How can you tell me, Asher Lo, that it is to teach me that it only gives kapara for himself and not for anybody else? We already need Asher Lo to teach me who pays for it. So Tana Hachi Kakashale, Maishna Bida'am Dolo Mechaper Dolo Kachasri Be'mamona Dechsiv Asher La'am Bida'aranami Lo Kachasri Be'mamona V'kamer Kulan Kriyin Beso. Why is it that we said that this is the problematic point? Why is it that we said that the Kohanim do not get Kapara through the Sira Nasa Bifnin that serves for everybody else because they didn't pay for it? So since they didn't pay for it, they shouldn't get Kapara. It says Asher La'am. Well, guess what? By the Parash Al Aaron, they also don't pay for it, and still they're going to get kapara. So that's what it says. So that's why we address that by saying kul and kriyim beso. They're all called beso, and therefore they are included. Bishul, Rabbi Shimon, Hainidukhsiv Trey Viduyin Vidama Par. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon, I understand why it says Tu Viduyin and Dama Par. Chad Keneged Sira Nasa Bifnim, one for the Sira Nasa Bifnim, Chad Keneged Sira Nasa Bechutz, one for the Sira Nasa Bechutz, Chad Keneged Sira Mishtaleach, and one for the Sira Mishtaleach. El Rabbi Huda Trey Viduyin Vidama Par Lamali, Chad Viduy Vidamu Sagya, with one Viduy and Dam should be enough. So, what are we talking about over here? Look at Rashi. Hainu Diika Trey Viduye. So, if you look at Rashi, Hainadika Treviduye, Beparu Matan Domo, Treviduye, Dixiv Trezim Zimni, Vichiper Ba'ado Va'ad Beso. It says twice, Vichiper Ba'ado Va'ad Beso, Va'omermar Bekaparas Dvorim Akosim Medaber. What does Vichiper mean? A kapara achieved through words, namely, through vidui, sharei adayin lo nishchat hapar, because the par is not actually shechted yet. Viika matan damo, and plus then on top of the two viduis, you have matan damo, you have the matan dam. Hare gimel kaparos. So there are three distinct kaparos being discussed. Why three distinct kaparos? Lechapar al gimel averos shakwan mischapin bepar keneged shalosh averos sheyishol mischapin besiirin, because you need the kohanim to be mischapar with the par for three averos keneged the three that the Yisraelim get through seirim. Chad keneged sira nasa bifnim little sal sheyish biyadia betchila vein biyadia besof v'chad keneged sira chiton lechapar al shein biyadia betchila v'yesh biyadia besof v'chad keneged sira mishalech lechapar al shara averos. Right, what do we say? That Yisraelim get three separate kaparos. One for a situation, the Sira Nasa Bifnim enables the Yisrael who didn't have Yediyah B'tchila, who had Yediyah B'tchila rather, but did not have Yediyah B'sof, so he still doesn't realize he did an Aveira, so therefore he can't bring in Karbon Olah V'Yored. So he needs an extension to be able to bring the Karbon Olah V'Yored. In the interim, he wants to make sure that he's not going to get afflicted with Yisurin. So that's what the Sira Nasa Bifnim accomplishes. Sira Nasa B'chutz accomplishes for a regular Yisrael in the case of Ein B'Yediyah B'tchila and Yesh B'Yediyah B'sof, right? So because he's not eligible for a Karbon Olah V'Yored because he was Ein B'Yediyah B'tchila, and the Sira Mishtalech, the Chaper for all other Averos. So I understand very well that according to Rabbi Shimon, you need three separate Kaparos, because the Kohanim need to achieve three Kaparos Keneged the Yisraelim's three Kaparos. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, B'chad Vidoy V'damosagi, Chad Keneged Sira Pnimi, V'chad Keneged Sira Chitzon, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Kohanim are not included
in the Seir LaZazel, right? They're not included in the kapara of the Seir LaZazel. So why did they get three kaparos? What are we talking three kaparos? They're not included in that in the first place. So answers Gemara, Echadlo ve'echadlo beso, enochinami, but one of them is for himself, one of them is for beso, but enochinami, they're not included in the Seir LaZazel. Ketan debe Rabbi Shmuel, kachi midas hadin noheges, mutav yavo zakai v'yichapar alachayiv, v'al yavo chayiv v'yichapar alachayiv. Meaning the point is, the Kohen needs to get kapara for himself first before he can get kapara for his entire family, because he can only be a representative of his entire family if he's already clean. So that's why he needs to get his own kapara first. That's the extra kapara that we mentioned by the Kohen, that he has to have the kapara first. This is the idea, the Shar Mitzvah and Balach over here, quotes from the Shlag Kadosh, that whenever you're, when we Shlag Kaparos, what we hold about that minhag is a big discussion with Rishonim anyway, whether it's Chukas Akum or whatever, but assuming that it's a good minhag, that it's a valid minhag of Shlag and Kaparos, so the Shar Mitzvah and Balach quotes the Shlag Kadosh. The Shlag Kadosh says that you should, if you're doing it for yourself and for your children, take care of yourself first and then your children. It's like on a plane, right? You take care of yourself first and then you take care of the children. But he says the idea is because you need to take care of your own kapara first before you can go and take care of somebody else. That's the idea of mutav zaka v'chapar l'chayiv and al yavo chayiv v'chapar l'chayiv. Fine. Hadron loch shvoshtayim. New parak now. Yedios hatum shtayim shein abba. We're still not in Shavuos. Yedios hatum shtayim shein abba. Right, this parak is also going to be about Yedios hatum. So there are two cases of Yedios hatum that are in fact four. What are the cases that are in fact four? So nitma v'yada, person became tamei, realized he became tamei, v'nelma mimenu hatum, and then he forgot about the tuma, v'zachar es hakodesh, and he started eating kodesh, not realizing that he was tamei because he had forgotten about his tuma. Or Nela Mimenu Akodesh Vizakhra Satuma. Became Tame, realized he was Tame, still remembered he was Tame, didn't realize what he was eating was Kodesh. Didn't realize what he was dealing with was Kodesh. So case number three, Nel Mimenu Zevzeh, he forgot that he was Tame and he didn't realize that this stuff was Kodesh. Vachlasa Kodesh Velo Yoda, and he ate the Kodesh and he didn't know. Umishaachal Yada, and then after he ate it, he realized. In those cases, he's chayiv in olav yorid. Why? Because he had a yediyah betchila. Whatever happened in the middle, he forgot something in the middle, either something or both things. And then at the end, he knew again. So hareza b'olav yorid. That's going to be included in olav yorid. Fine, such a person is chayiv olav yorid. Nitma v'yada. What if a person became tamei? Knew he became tamei. V'nel m'menu tuma v'zachar samigdash. He forgot that he was tamei, and he knew the building he was walking into was a beis hamigdash. He just didn't realize that he was tamei. No, mimenu migdash v'zachras tuma, or the other way around. He forgot that about the beis hamigdash, but he knew that he was tamei. Nel mimenu zevzeh, or he forgot that he was tamei, and he didn't realize that this was the beis hamigdash. V'nichnas hamigdash, and he goes into the beis hamigdash. V'lo yada, and he didn't know. Umishe yatsa yada, but then when he walked out after he left, he realized. Then he's chayiv in olav yored. Frekta Rashash, a very pashut akasha. In order to be chayiv in olav yored, obviously, you need to realize that you did an avera. Do you need to tell me that I have to know now that I did an avera in order to be chayiv in olav yored? Why else would I dream up to bring an olav yored if I didn't realize right now that I did an avera? I'm not just going to stop bringing an olav yored on the chance that maybe I did an avera. So Frekta Rashash, why does the Mishnah keep on emphasizing that, and now, Misha Achal Yada, Misha Yatza Yada. Of course, Misha Achal Yada, Misha Yatza Yada. Otherwise, he wouldn't be bringing Karmen olav yored. So says the Rashash, the following chiddush, says this, trying to teach me a chiddush la'alacha. He says, let's say he ate a kazayas while he forgot that he was tamei, and then he realized as he was eating it, and he didn't stop when he realized, middle of the sandwich, let me just finish the sandwich, right? And middle of eating, he realized, the anal may be carbon. So you might say, well, let him bring a carbon olav yored for the first kazayas that he ate. First kazayas that he ate was behelim. Granted, the rest of the sandwich that he finished afterwards was not behelim. He's not going to be eligible to bring a carbon. It was mezid. But the first kazayas that he ate, he should bring a carbon. So that's what it comes to tell me. Anal may be carbon. That's why it says, Misha achal yada, Misha yatsa yada. Only if he only found out about it once he was done. If he found out about it in the middle and he continued to do it anyway, he's not eligible for an olav yored. Why not? Rashash says unbelievable. Why not? Even though he was shogeg when he first started, But it's Megala, the fact that he continues, was Megala that he would have eaten it anyway, even if he knew. So if it's Megala, if he would have eaten anyway, even if he knew, so he doesn't deserve the kapara of a shogeg. That if someone would have done it anyway, that there's such an idea that if he would have done it anyway, so then he doesn't have the status of a shogeg. That's a discussion. Chavrus also always points out there's a major machlokas between Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman. Dr. Abraham quotes in his Sfarim about if a doctor has the opportunity to from doctor has the opportunity to switch a Shabbos being on call on Shabbos with a non from doctor. Right, that the non-from doctor is on call on Shabbos, so he has the opportunity, or is not on call on Shabbos. The doctor has the call. Should he switch with the non-from doctor? Give the non-from doctor Shabbos. Why? What's the svara? Svara is that for pikuach nefesh, you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos. If the non-from doctor is not working on Shabbos, he'll be watching TV on Shabbos. He'll be mechal Shabbos doing something else. So maybe give the non-from doctor the opportunity to at least be doing pikuach nefesh issues on Shabbos, and it won't be called chil Shabbos for him. So, and I'll switch out of Shabbos that way, right? So is that such a cheshbon? So that was machlokas from Moshe Rosh Hashanah. Part of the machlokas was this exact issue. Is that call that when the non from doctor it treats patients and Mechal Shabbos treats patients on Shabbos, is that called pikuach nefesh? Meaning, is that called the heter of pikuach nefesh? When you know that if it weren't that if he weren't doing pikuach nefesh, he'd be mechal Shabbos anyway. So it's a similar svara. If he would have been doing it anyway, do you put him in the same category as someone who's doing it because he has to be doing it? Okay, so unbelievable chiddush of the Rashi. Says the Mishnah Vayter. Echle nechnas azara vechle nechnas tosefes azara. Whether a person enters the azara or a person enters into the additions on the azara, shein mosifin, and the reason why he's included in the same karban, even if he goes into the tosefes azara, says the Mishnah, is because the Tosefes Hazara is very serious. It's not something that is just done flippantly that we just say, oh, okay, we'll just put on some more space. She'ein mosivin ali irval azaros el bemelech v'navi v'rubetum v'misan hedrus v'mechad u'v'shtei todus v'shiru beizim ha'alchim v'shtei todus achreyan v'kol Yisrael achreyan. We don't just add on to the azaros just stam. We need a whole slew of things in order to add on to the ear of the azaros. You need the king, you need the v'rubetum, you need the Sanhedrin of 71 judges, you need the two kabbalah. You need Shir and Bezdin and Bezdin following and Bezdin with the two Todos following after them, and all of Klal Yisrael following there. So there's a whole list of requirements that you need to add to the Azeros. So that tells you we take it very seriously, and it's Ki'ilu, it was Nikdash B'Kedusha Rishona. It's Ki'ilu, it was Kadosh the entire time. Tosos on Tes Vav Amid Aleph, it's a misplaced Tosos. If you look at the top of Tes Vav Amid Aleph, right, it says Shaykh Yudalar Amid Aleph. Shein Mosivin Alir Val Azeros says Tos Vim Tomar, Perakam the Sanhedrin Dav Beis, Lo Chashev Ela Ayin Aleph. In Sanhedrin Dav Beis, if you recall, there's a long Mishnah where it lists off the functions of a Beisdin of 3, a Beisdin of 23, a Beisdin of 71, what each one does that the other one doesn't. So in listing off the role and the function of the Beisdin of Sanhedrin HaGadol, it says that Emos even Aliyir V'Alazeros El BeBeisdin Shel Shem Ve'Echad. But no mention about the Melech, no mention about the Todos and the Shir, and nothing else. So it sounds like all you need is Sanhedrin Shel Shem Ve'Echad, and here we have our Mishnah. It's mentioning all these other things. So it says those be Yeshlomer, and all the Rishonim say this way, the Hasam Lo Chashev El Emili De Sanhedrin. Over there, we're only mentioning Sanhedrin-related issues. So in Achinami, of course, there are a whole bunch of other requirements, but that wasn't the topic of Masecha Sanhedrin. So Masecha Sanhedrin, we deal with the Sanhedrin-related issues. Now we're dealing with non-Sanhedrin-related issues. V'teidam, the proof is, Ditznanam Yasum, Ein Motzim L'Melchemes HaRashos, El Bezen Shalayin Aleph. It says we don't go to Melchemes HaRashos without the permission of Sanhedrin Shal Shem Ve'achad. V'lo Tani Melech, V'yoritz, V'urim V'tumim. Doesn't say anything about Melech, and Yoritz, and Urim V'tumim. Afgav D'binu Luke, D'mas Chasim Gemara, even though the Gemara over there itself says, and Dafta Zayin, the Gemara over there says, that you need all these other things in order to go out to Melchemes HaRashos. So you see that the Mishnah is not trying to list off all the requirements in order to achieve these different things. It's just trying to tell you the various roles of the Sanhedrin. That's why it's not included. Says the Mishnah Vayter, Hapanimis nechelos v'achitzona nisrefes v'kol shelo nasis b'kolelu ha'nichnas shem in chayev aleha. The Gemara is going to explain exactly what this is talking about, but somehow it means the inner one is eaten, the outer one is burnt, and anything that's not done in this way, hanichtel shamein chayev aleha, someone who goes there is not chayev. All of this is going to be explained in the Gemara. The right Rashi doesn't even explain it over here, he just tells you mefarish b'Gemara, because you're not supposed to understand it when you read in the Mishnah. Nitma ba'azara v'nel mimenu tuma v'zachar samigdash. Right, that's Yisod, by the way. Whenever Rashi says mefarish b'Gemara, it means you're not supposed to understand it here, because obviously the whole Mishnah is always explained in the Gemara. Why doesn't Rashi just write in every line of every Mishnah mefarish b'Gemara? He writes it when it's something that's lo muvan me'elav, that you can't read it and possibly understand it straight up. Nitma ba'azara v'nel mimenu tuma v'zachar samigdash. Let's say a person became Tamei in the Azara, and he forgot that he was Tamei, but he realized that he was in the Mikdash. So he knew at first that he was Tamei, forgot that he was Tamei, realized he was in the Mikdash, or Nela Mimenu Mikdash V'Zachra Tumah, or he forgot that he was in the Beis HaMikdash, but he realized that he was Tamei, Nela Mimenu Zevezeh, or he forgot both that he was Tamei and that he was in the Beis HaMikdash, and then he stayed. V'Shtachaveh, he bowed, or Shasha, B'Ktei Shtachaveh, he stayed there long enough to possibly bow, O Balo Ba'arucha, or even if he left right away, but he took a long path out, instead of going the shortest direct from point A to point B, he took a circular path out of the Beis HaMikdash, Chayiv, he's going to be Chayiv. B'Ktzara Pater, if he walked out the shortest possible route, then he's going to be Pater. Rabbi Kiveger in the Mishnayis, and tells Rabbi Kiveger in the Mishnayis, says, what if he takes a long route, but he runs? So he runs so fast that it takes him shorter than it would have taken had he walked in the short route. Or what if he takes the short route, but he goes so slowly? He just walks Ekev B'Tzadagoda, right? Just one foot right in front of another. So what if? So is that okay? So Rabbi Kiveger says, no, it all is totally on the path that he takes. Not on how fast, not on how slow. It's all totally on the path that he takes. As long as he's on his way out and he's taking the shortest path, we don't care how slow he's going. And if he's taking the longer path, we don't care how fast he's going. Zui mitzvah seish of mikdash ein chayav nalea. That is what the Mishnah in Horios refers to when it talks about a mitzvah seish shebemikdash that you're not chayav on it. Right? The Mishnah in Horios cryptically says that you're not chayav ala seish shebemikdash, but you're chayav ala seish shebenida. So what in the world is it talking about? So the Mishnah over here explains the mitzvah seish of mikdash ein chayav nalea is the case where the guy takes the shortest route out after he discovers that he's tamei in the Beis HaMikdash. Veizui mitzvah seish shebenida shechayav nalea. Parenthetically, and we're going to end up talking about a lot of Hilchas Nida in this parak, so we'll have some Halacha L'maisa. Where does the mitzvah shebenida that you are chayiv on? Let's say a man is sleeping with his wife and she was tahara when they started sleeping together, and then she says to him in the middle of the act of bia, she says, uh-oh, I'm tamei. Right? It used to be that a woman had what was called a hargasha. In order for a woman to become tamei, to be a nida, midal raisa, she has to have a hargasha, because she uses of dam bivisar. And the Gemara darshan's bivsara achi yargish bivsara. What exactly is argasha? Is 3 days in Rishonim, according to Pesach Tshuva. It's either nizdaz or gufa, her whole body trembles, or she feels the blood flowing from the uterus, or so, whatever it is. There are different possibilities of what a hargasha is. Nowadays, if you ask any woman, no woman ever experiences a hargasha. Even the lightest hargasha, feeling moisture, they only feel it when it's leaving the vaginal canal at most. They would never feel it when it's leaving the uterus. It's impossible. So, but anyway, there used to be such a thing called a hargasha, and that would be the only way a woman would become a nida midar raisa. So let's say they're a middle of bia, and all of a sudden she trembles, and she realizes that's a hargasha. She realizes that there's dam, that she became tamei. Upirish miyad, and the husband immediately scared. He jumps back and exits her body. So chayiv, he's going to be chayiv, because just like there's hanah for him on the way in, there's hanah for him on the way out. So he's going to be chayiv for sleeping with the nida. Going out is also hanah for him. So what's he supposed to do? So Rashi points out. So rather, what he's supposed to do is wait inside of her until his aver becomes soft, and then exit, because then he won't get the hana'a. So a much harder thing to do, right? I think the expression the Gemara has in Maseches Nida is to be noetz tziparnov, to dig his fingernails in and try to focus on something else, and wait till he's no longer bekoshi ever, bekishrei ever, and then exit. Rabbi Lezer says, let's say
A guy became tamei to his sheretz and he forgot. What did he forget? Al helam sheretz chayiv veinu chayiv al helam mikdash. If he forgot about the sheretz, then he's chayiv. If he forgot about that he's tamei from the sheretz, he's chayiv. But he's not chayiv if he forgot about the mikdash. Rabbi Kiva Omer v'nelam imenu v'hu tamei. Meaning we're dashing psukim, right? The pasuk says hasheretz v'nelam imenu. So we're dashing that you're only chayiv for helam sheretz, a carbon olav yared. You're not chayiv for helam mikdash. A whole new shita, not like anything we said before. That you're only chayiv if you forgot about the tumah, not if you forgot about the mikdash. Rabbi Kiva says, "Vinela mimenu v'hutamei al helam tumah chayiv, enu chayiv al helam mikdash." That you're only chayiv for helam tumah, you're not chayiv for helam mikdash. The Gemara is going to discuss exactly what the difference is between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Kiva. They both seem to say the same thing: that you're only chayiv for helam tumah, not for helam mikdash. Rabbi Shmuel Lomer, "Vinela minelam shtei pam." This is the sheet that we've been working with the whole time. That it says vinelam twice: the chayiv al helam tumah, the al helam mikdash, and that teaches us that you're chayiv for helam tumah, and you're also chayiv for helam mikdash. You're chayiv for both. Amra papalabaye shtayim shein arba shtayim shein sheish havyan. How do you say that it's shtayim shein arba? It's really shtayim shein sheish. Yedios hatuma, why? Where's the six? Yedios hatuma tchila vasof. Yedios hakodesh tchila vasof. And yedios mikdash tchila vasof. So you have six possible permutations. Ulutaymeich. So he says, if according to your logic, timni avyan, deika tumah de kodesh, betumah de mikdash, tchila vasof. He says, no, there are really eight permutations according to what you're saying, because there's tumah de kodesh, there's tumah de mikdash, and there's tchila vasof. So he says, no, holokasha, shem tumah achasi. Tumah, we just assume, is one, right? Where the tumah, no matter how it's gotten, and is all considered one shem tumah. But mikol makom shis havyan. But at the end of the day, it's at least six different permutations, not only four. Some rapapa liolam timni avyan. So rapapa says, no, really, it's eight. We don't assume shem tumah achasi, and the reason why we only mention four is because our boy kamaisa de lo maisa leli de karban no kachashiv. We're only going to mention those permutations that are going to lead you to be chayiv a karban. Those that where you don't have yediyah b'chila, you're not going to be chayiv a karban. So mil, we're not going to mention those. Our baba strays the ma'isel the karban kachashim. We're only going to count in the numbers those that could potentially make you be chayiv a karban, and that is when you have yediyah b'chila. V'ikadamri. Others say no. The answer is different. That amar papa liolam timni avyan. That yes, it's really there are eight permutations. Why do we only mention four? V'arbay kamaisa d'lesnu b'kala tarakula kachashiv. The first four that do not apply to kala tarukula. If a person eats chaylev b'shogeg, even if he doesn't know, he never knew that this chaticha was chaylev, and then he finds out afterwards, he's going to be chayiv even without yediyah b'tchila. So the first four that do not apply to kala tarukula, so those are the four that we're going to mention. Arbay b'sraisa di istnu b'kala tarukula lo kachashiv. The last four that are istnu b'kala tarukula, that are true of everything of kala tarukula, when you don't have yediyah b'tchila, that's true of kala tarakula, right? So then those we do not count, because that's not unique to yediyah satumah. We're only going to count those things that are unique to yediyah satumah. Bayrav papa nelmi menu hilchos tumah mahu. What if a person just forgot the halachos of tumah? Say echidami, what exactly is the case that the guy forgot the halachos of tumah? If you want to say that he doesn't know what kind of rodents make him tameh, if it's a sheretz or it's tzvardeya that makes him tamei, so that's not something that's considered to be ne'elam, because that's something he could have asked any child. Anyone would know that, right? Even if he was never educated, Tosafot points out, he can always ask a child. Everybody knows that. So that's not called lack of yediyah. Has to be something that he couldn't know, or that it wasn't easy for him to know. But that's easy for you to know. So the olam diyada b'tumah sheretz. No, it must be talking about a case where he knew about tumah sheretz. V'kugon dinaga b'kadash v'lo yada b'kadash mitame olam mitame mai. He knew that sheretz is mitame. He wasn't sure how large a sheretz has to be mitame. The kadasha, less than a kadasha, kivan the other demitami sheretz be olam yediyahi. Is that called the yediyah because he knew that there's such a concept of tumah sheretz? O dilma, kivan the kadasha lo yadi imitami ilam mitami halamehi. Or maybe since he doesn't know whether it's mitami b'kadasha or not, so that's called halama teku. And therefore, we leave it as a teku. What do you do when it's a teku and you're not sure whether you chayv a carbon olav yared? The Rambam writes hilchos shkagos perek yiralef halacha beis that since it's a shaila of chulun azara, so you don't bring a carbon
carbon when it's a tehu. I, there's an exception to the rule. The Rambam writes in that same halacha, what about chatas of baal asafek, where we do it even though it's only misafek? Isn't it a shayla of tumas of chul nazara? The Rambam says, no, that's different, because if you don't bring that carbon chatas of baal asafek, you're a mechusar kafari, you're never going to be allowed to eat kachim again. So if you're never going to be allowed to eat kachim again, you risk losing something by not bringing the carbon. But when it's, you're not going to lose anything, it's only an issue of whether you bring chul nazara or not. So by a teku, we're going to say we're going to be cautious and not bring chul nazara. Okay, we'll pick up from there tomorrow.